Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
We've been watching Hugo for a long time. He's obviously been on everybody's radar, I think, for a long time. And then, followed his year with a great Real Madrid organization and team and closely and watched him in all the, U18s and those types of things. And just big fan of how he plays. He's tough. He's hard playing. He cuts. He goes after the ball. He competes. He's got all the intangibles of a winning basketball player. And there's things he can get better at, just like everybody else at that age. But competitiveness is not, it's at a high level.
Is the plan to bring him over?
Yeah. Right away?
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
That was the voice of Brad Stevens at the Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. We'll dive into what Brad had to say there. He answered a lot of questions last night. I thought all of his answers were pretty interesting, just because I'm so curious about what he's going to do next and what the direction of this team is. It's very, very mysterious right now, very kind of fluid and up in the air. And I think that there is a real potential for him to add to his legend and the legacy of Brad Stevens, the GM, which already is pretty good, pretty good resume so far. Conversely, there's also time for him to completely ruin his reputation and have everybody think, oh yeah, wow, it was really fluky those first couple of years. Look what he's done to the team since then. So it could go either way. Anyways, a couple of texts I wanted to read here before we continue with this conversation. A texter in the 603 says, Arcan, Robert Parris was a grandparent while still playing in the NBA. I would guess he's I said John Sally, but I didn't mean John Sally. I meant Kevin Willis, who played until he was about 45, I think. He's another one who certainly could have been a grandfather. Udonis Haslam played a long time. Vince Carter played until he was like 43. I don't know if he has kids or what, but it all sort of depends on if they had kids at a young age, like that type of thing. Anyways, neither here nor there. 603 texter says, Arcan versus 9-year-old should be a WEEI challenge event. I agree. It's just once I lose to the first 9-year-old, then it's over. Then it's like, that's tough. I feel like,
but
for
you're
me,
so confident you're not going to lose to the first one.
I know, but that sort of makes it a no-win situation for me, doesn't it? I'm so confident I'm going to win, and I probably will beat most of the 9-year-olds, but if I beat a 9-year-old, then I just beat a 9-year-old. So what? What am I supposed to be, like, proud of myself? Beat a 9-year-old at basketball. Good for you, Arcan. And then when I finally lose the one, because eventually I'll find some freak 9-year-old's going to beat me at basketball. Someday. It may take a decade, but someday a 9-year-old's going to beat me. And then I'll be the guy who lost to the 9-year-old. And so either I'm the guy who beat the 9-year-old or I'm the guy who lost to the 9-year-old. Either way, it's not really, there's no good way for me to come out of it. I look like a loser no matter what, which I should be used to at this point in my life. But still, not quite. Texter in the 413 says, Mason wasn't even a basketball kid prodigy. He was a spoiled rich kid who wasn't good at 9 years old. Well, then I would have had no problems with him. No problems at all. With that, Brad Stevens seems kind of enthused on Hugo, guy who was on our radar. I saw this floating around the internet today, but a mock draft from about a year ago. One of those very reactionary, this draft just happened, so let's look ahead to next year's draft. You know, they do that sometimes in the NFL, like the day after the draft. They're like, let's look at 2026 and who's going to be the number one pick. And Hugo Gonzalez was like a top five prospect around this time last year when people were talking about him. And then the season played out, and he dropped from a top five prospect to a end of the first round type of prospect. He was available there for the Celtics, and the Celtics did end up taking him. I don't know what their plans are, but you heard Brad Stevens at the end, at the very, very end of that clip. Can you cue that back up, by the way? Because that was probably the most important part of it. They said, are you going to bring him over? And Stevens,
is the plan to bring him over?
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're bringing him over. Now, interestingly enough, and this may just be me being an a-hole, but he goes, are you going to bring him over? Stevens says, yeah. He goes, right away, and they move on to the next question. So, play it one more time. Just real quick, just let me get the timing right so I'm not butchering this. I feel like that's the sequence.
Is the plan to bring him over?
Yeah.
Right away.
Is the plan to bring him over? Yeah. Right away. I don't know if Stevens like nodded and was like, yeah, 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 or whatever, but he didn't say yeah again. So the plan is to bring him over. Is it to bring him over right away? I feel like that's still not...
I'm going on the assumption that he will be on some portion of a roster this upcoming season, whether it's he starts in the G League or he's on like a two-way contract or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I expect him to have a roster spot in this organization this year.
Yeah, I would think that too, but I also, I mean, you know, with no Tatum and some other wings that are on the team right now, and Shireman and Jordan Walsh, I mean, these are guys who are, you know, big guards or wings. Meanwhile, here you got this kid who's another wing, 6'7", not really a point guard, guy who brings it up, kind of an energy guy who jumps into passing lanes and, you know, gives you good conditioning, that type of thing. Dare I even say maybe a Marcus Smart-esque type of player. NBA draft room had this to say about Gonzalez. Gonzalez, a big-time prospect out of Spain with lottery to mid-first-round potential in the 2025 draft. Not quite. He's one of the top international prospects in his generation and has been a star in youth tournaments but was buried on a deep Real Madrid team. He's well-built, 6'7", has natural strength in the frame, uses his strength to bump defenders off balance and get in the lane, can drive and finish with either hand, shifty with the ball. He has handles, plays with change of pace, and contorts his body past defenders using the Euro step to get to the basket. He has a nice shooting stroke and shows a lot of promise as a perimeter shooter, but is still working to become consistent and reliable. He has a fairly quick release on his jumper, is good in catch and shoot, can hit jumpers off the dribble, and projects as a solid NBA-level shooter. He's a very aware defender, picks pockets, reads passing lanes, an overall high-energy player who impacts both ends and runs the floor hard. I'm telling you again, I watched his highlights. The most impressive thing about him from the highlights that I watched, basketball IQ, spacing, knowing how to attack the basket, one-on-one, he was good at sort of jab steps and things like that to get the defender moving and then reacting to that. You know, you could see some of that, even though he's a young kid. And in terms of his actual shot, I mean, listen, it's a highlight reel, so he's going to make all the shots in the highlight reel, but I did come away from that thinking that is an unusual-looking jump shot. It's not quite like Sean Marion, you know? It's not like a freaky, weird one. But it is kind of, you watch him, like, he almost looks like the Air Jordan logo when he shoots. Like, the legs go like this, you know? Like, he's shooting, and, like, the feet are going in different directions. Watch his highlight. You'll see what I'm saying. And, you know, I feel like that in the NBA, that's, like, a big thing now. If you kick your leg out when you're shooting a jump shot, then it's a foul on you. So, I wonder, you know, I don't know if it's the same in the EuroLeague. I would imagine it isn't. But if he's coming to the NBA, he's got to reel the legs in a little bit, because he really kicks them out whenever he takes a jump shot. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We are talking Celtics here. I'm going to play a little bit more from Brad Stevens in just a moment because he had some other answers last night that I thought were interesting and worth reacting to. But in the meantime, let's go to your phone. Some Red Sox calls on the line right now at 617-779-7937. Let's start with EJ in East Boston, who has a thought on Craig Breslow. Go ahead, EJ.
Hey, Okan, how are you?
What's up?
First and foremost, I think you could probably take like 25 9-year-olds until you ran into one that would give you trouble.
Probably.
With Craig Breslow, I was sold, Arcan, on the idea of Craig Breslow and Andrew Bailey to be, we are going to develop homegrown pitching and we're going to buy runs and also develop runs on the offensive side of the ball. When you go and you look off the top of your head, could you name me a Red Sox prospect that isn't now Kyle Harrison that is a pitching prospect?
I know they have a couple, but Joe, you take this one.
There's Peyton Tolley. That's one of the big ones. Brandon Clark will be back. He was just recovering from a blister. He'll be starting. But those are the two big names.
But Joe, you would argue that Luis Perales is probably their number one kind of pitching prospect right now, while Yordani Monegro was their top guy last year.
I would agree with that, yes. Perales is just no one talks about him because he's obviously out for the year with major surgery.
Right, granted. But the larger point to this is, where is the infrastructure that Boston is implementing? Because I haven't seen any steps, and I'm not trying to say I'm a Portland Sea Dogs fan, but my question for you, Arcan, I'm sorry I'm taking a little bit longer here.
All right, EJ, go ahead.
Do you think that Breslow and Andrew Bailey, based on the track record, even when Hein Bloom came in their track record, do you actually believe that Boston can do the correct thing and actually develop long-term aces, which will give Henry the flexibility to go out and buy runs?
Well, okay. Can they develop aces? I'll answer the question sort of one at a time. Can they develop aces? It's hard to develop aces. There's some teams that do it better than others, but it's not an easy thing to do. There was a time when the Red Sox were cranking, you know, the aces at John Lester and Buck Holtz, if you want to consider him an ace. He pitched like that for a couple of years. So, you know, it's not like it's never happened, but it's been a while. Maybe it's been since then, honestly. You know, starting pitching, there's not been a lot since then. There was that kid with the long hair, the big lefty with the long hair, whose name escapes me at the moment, who was supposed to be this, you know, big stud, didn't really work out. They had Jay Groom, who never really worked out. Who was a high draft pick. And now, yeah, Perales, who you mentioned, had surgery, 22 years old. There's David Sandlin, who's 24 in AA. Conley Early. Let's see, Peyton Tolley. Conrad Kaysen, who is a pitcher and a shortstop in the rookie league. Juan Valera, who we mentioned. Dalvinson Reyes. I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot about these guys, but that's sort of what they have coming up right now. The problem, though, I think, with the Andrew Bailey method and what's going on here with him and Breslow is that their philosophy is one that they're trying to, I don't want to say force on these veteran pitchers, because not all of them are doing it. Like, obviously, Garrett Crochet is going out there and doing whatever he wants, but you can see that at certain points this year, guys like Giolito, guys like Walker Buehler still going through it. Guys like Tanner Houck, who was so bad they put him on a phantom IL stint. And, you know, Bayo earlier in the year couldn't get out of the fourth. Like, there was a long stretch where it seemed like the organizational philosophy was just not really clicking with the pitchers on this team. And the only one that really you could say that wasn't applying to was Garrett Crochet and also Aroldis Chapman, because they just go out there and pump fastballs and throw gas and tell Bailey and everybody to bleep off. You know, like, you want me to throw more breaking balls? Actually, I'm going to stick with my 102 mile an hour fastball, if you don't mind. And if you want to try and implement something like that, you can't do it with guys who have already come up through other systems and developed their own ways of pitching. It just doesn't, it's not working with some of them, especially with the older veteran guys. Buehler's been around the league too long to suddenly start throwing all these breaking balls and, you know, going way away from what made him good at other points in his career. And so if you want to bring up a whole new pitching staff and have them all come up and be conditioned through this Red Sox way of doing it, fine. But do you have the horses for that? Do you have the arms for it? If that's the question, EJ, I say no, I don't think you do. I don't think you do have those kind of arms coming up through the system who are going to be aces or potential aces or even middle to back end rotation guys that are going to be giving you regular innings at the major league level. I don't know. I don't know about any of those names I just gave you. There may be trades that come up here, especially if they start dismantling this team. There may be some prospects they bring in who have that potential, but I'm not sure they have it right now. 617-779-7937. Gary's in Connecticut. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Red Sox. Because, I mean, a Red Sox fan for a long time. And it's really getting frustrating hearing, like, what is this where the focus is all on Breslow? Why does Cora get a free pass? Because now let's look at this realistically, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The only time he did a successful job was the 2018 team, which was loaded.
Right.
Now, since then, you look at statistics, I believe every single year they're the worst team at swinging that pitches out of the strike zone. Even their last playoff team, which is what, 2021?
21, yes.
Okay. That year, they were horrendous. But then what happened was when they got into the playoff, they suddenly went back to like the 2018 team where they worked the pitchers. And then the third game, they went right back to swinging everything out of the strike zone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got lost four in a row.
Right.
But to me, I don't see where Cora is a good manager. I don't get this. Why he got a free pass? Now let's look at let's compare him to John Farrell.
Okay.
The 2013 team had nothing. They were a bunch of role players, and except for one superstar who we know, of course, was Poppy.
Yeah, he was. That's a pretty big. That's a pretty big one. Yeah,
but he didn't play the field. He didn't play the field.
No.
That team was so fundamentally sound, it was unbelievable. Because if you remember how they would win, they would play flawless baseball, and they would wait for the other team to make a mistake, and then they would jump on them. Because I remember him talking about that. And then, I mean, to me, it was the best, most fundamental team I've ever seen.
In 2013, Gary, you might be right about that. I don't think that they were this hard luck team with no stars on it. They had John Lester in his prime. They had Clay Buchholz, 28-year-old Clay Buchholz. They had Koji, who ended up being this amazing closer who wasn't the first choice or the second choice. Bailey was originally supposed to be the closer that year, and Joel Hanrahan, remember him? Those were supposed to be that was where
they went through like three closers before they landed on Koji.
Those were options A and B to close out that year, and then both of them got hurt. They throw Koji out there, and Koji turns into this monster. So
also the comparison to this team versus 2013 is you look lineup 1 through 9 in 13. Tons of veterans. Ellsbury, Pedroia, Gomes, Victorino, or whatever. What's this lineup putting out there? 5 or 6 rookies? Second-year players?
Good point. You had Mike Napoli, who was still very good. You had Pedroia, who wasn't even 30 yet that year. And Jacoby Ellsbury was still on that team. So it's not like you had nothing, you know? Like, he's making it seem like it was David Ortiz and a bunch of minor leaguers. Like, that was a pretty good team in 2013. If you want to talk about their offseason, yeah. Their offseason was like Shane Victorino and Ryan Dempster, I think they got that year. Napoli came in that offseason, you know? So it wasn't like they went out and loaded up or anything, but they certainly had a pretty strong foundation. And the additions that they made ended up being good additions. Victorino ended up being huge for them that year. And, you know, Napoli was a good power hitter after Manny was, it was years after Manny left, but, you know, he was able to get that right-handed power. And you still had a good pitching staff. And then Koji emerged as this ridiculous closer. And all that happened. So, yeah, I mean, they were fundamentally sound. Sure, you're right about that. And this team is nothing like that. This team is nothing like that. And according to Craig Breslow, the way he tells it, the minor leagues, the whole organization, the whole franchise, all the way through, not really like that. Aiden is in Portsmouth. Go ahead, Aiden.
Yeah, just wanted to give a call. Pretty sure you mentioned him, but that was the only reason why I was calling. Is that Conley Early, the left-handed pitcher?
Yes,
he's still in Portland right now. I've gone to see him pitch a few times, and he's probably the. Out of all the Sox pitching prospects, he's the one I'm most excited about. But to add Chad Harrison, him, and Peyton Tolley, I think those three in 3 years from now will be all. I think all three of them 3 years from now will be in the rotation. I think And I think Early and obviously Harrison's going to be in the rotation in a couple weeks. But Early could be next year that. As well.
So okay.
I'm excited about those three. And, I mean, MLB, it's 75% of the major MLB is right-handed pitching. So to find good left-handed pitching, it's huge. And I'm still not counting out Hunter Dobbins and Richard Fitz. So I think the Sox have some decent arms. It's just going to be who's going to emerge behind Crochet. The last thing I want to mention is the Sox. Dude, one of the biggest things I just can't stand about Cora is that he just refuses to play small ball. And he's got guys, especially with Duran struggling and his talent, his speed. David Hamilton, the reason why they lost the game last night.
David Hamilton,
opinion.
Oh, my God. Thank you for the call, Aiden. When David Hamilton went to do those two drag bunts, what game was it where he was trying to drag bunt? And he tried to – remember, it was a perfect bunt situation.
Going to say that was game two.
Against the Giants? Or was that game two of this last series against Anaheim?
This past series.
Maybe. I can't remember what game it was. But I remember Hamilton was up. It was a perfect bunting situation. And instead of just laying down a bunt, he tried to drag bunt his way on for like a base hit twice. And he fouled them both off because obviously. And it's like, what are you doing, man? What is this? What are you, Ichiro? Like, come on. Just stand in the box, bunt. Take the hit for your batting average, and let's get on with this here, okay? What are you doing? What are you trying to get the first base for, David Hamilton? Come on, man. He's had a rough one. Everyone's having a rough one. You know, it's been a rough year in general for your Boston Red Sox. I wasn't expecting this to be such a Red Sox-heavy segment. I thought we were going to continue here with the Celtics, but we will do that next, and we will do it with Dan Greenberg, who will join the show. In the meantime, want to react a little bit to the Celtics in their first round pick, the first round in general of the NBA draft, which, as I've been complaining about for the last 24 hours, took 4 hours. It was a 4-hour-long round. And it was the type of round where the top three, four players, maybe five if you want to count Bailey to Utah, had some juice. There was some narrative, some good stuff there. And then after that, there wasn't really much. And yet somehow ESPN managed to drag it out. To the point where it was like I was watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy with this thing. 617-779-7937. We'll get to that. Also hear from Brian Scalabrine and Chris Forsberg, who at long last got a chance to react to that last night on NBC Sports Boston. We'll get what they had to say. And Dan Greenberg of Barstool, will get him at 7:30 as well. It's all coming up right after Joe Braverman. Get you caught up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? more like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Bowen's trending.
Here we go. According to Jeff Goodman right now, it's going to be Hugo Gonzalez to the Boston Celtics with a 28th overall pick.
There were a lot of the analytics.
Oh, man. Where's McNeely at? I want to see like the McNeely Pritchard lineup.
You're going to love Hugo. High energy guy.
Oh, is he? Where's
Spanish
he from?
Wing. He's going to be, I believe, NBA ready. I'm looking up. Only 19 years old. But
hold on, is this a draft and stash situation?
I don't think it is. I don't think the
Celtics. We had a draft and stash before. He never showed up.
Yamadar.
He had a few of them.
Johan Bagaran.
Always have these guys that they never ever end up coming.
Don't worry about this one. So I do think the Celtics are in a position this year where they can nurture a younger player and throw him into the mix.
Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. It is 7:30. That was Scal and Forsberg last night reacting to the Hugo Gonzalez draft pick. And for more on that, we are joined now by Barstool Sports Celtics scribe, tireless. And right now, putting a lot of great content out there on Barstool. I'm talking, of course, about the great Dan Greenberg, a.k.a. Greeny, a.k.a. Scooby Greenberg, as Kendrick Perkins likes to call him, who joins us here on the program right now. Greeny, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, Arcan, it's been an emotional 48 hours.
I would imagine it's been an emotional week in general with everything that's gone on here. I do want to get your take on some of the trades that got made earlier in the week. But first, has the first round of the NBA draft always taken 4 hours, or am I crazy?
I think it was probably longer than we felt, just because we were, you know, so nervous with anticipation. It felt like the countdown for their pick at 28, I feel like the clock was moving twice as slow as every other pick, you know, ahead of time. It was quite a night.
Yeah, it certainly was. How'd you feel about the pick? Was there somebody else that you wanted? Did you want Gonzalez? Did you want them to trade up? I thought that Mark Williams trade that happened with the pick after the Celtics was certainly an interesting one, considering they need help at the five position. But what was your take on the pick and what they did and did not do?
Yeah, I mean, when the pick was at 27 and you're waiting and you're thinking, okay, is this going to be a center? Is this going to be a position of need? You know, I didn't know at that time that Hugo Gonzalez even existed on this planet. Then they pick him, and the, you know, 24 hours since, when I've just been staying up until 3 a.m. watching his highlight tapes, I don't know how I've lived without Hugo Gonzalez all these years. Like, I didn't know I needed him, but now that I've seen him, I just, you know, I'm in. I want him to go to Vegas. I want to see it in person, and hopefully in about an hour they take the center that they desperately need, and it's an okay draft.
Now, you may think that Greeny was being sarcastic just now. I texted you after the round ended, and I felt bad because I was like, oh, it's kind of late to be texting Greeny here. And I was like, hey, if you want to come on tomorrow, 7:30 is wide open. I wake up the next morning. I get a text back from you at like 2:30. It's like, yeah, sure, man, no problem.
Listen, you get hooked on Hugo. You get hooked on Hugo. Dangerous things can happen.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so what do you like so much about him?
Well, based on what I've seen, you know, and then read up on today, people are comparing him to maybe a young bench Christian Brown, which I think is a huge win if he's 75% of what Christian Brown is over with the Nuggets. You watch him, his on-ball pressure is crazy. We just saw in the finals how important that can be. He's got, you know, great help-side defense. He's blocking shots at the rim. They say he can't shoot, but he didn't miss a single shot in any of the highlights I saw.
So it's funny how that works, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. And they're in a position where, you know, Brad has to hit on these picks. And in previous years, we didn't have minutes for a developmental wing or a project, especially at the wing position. We now have that. I'm okay if they feel like this is a position of need, especially when you don't know if they're going to be offloading Sam Hauser in the next few hours. You know, you are pretty thin at wing pretty quickly. So if this is a guy that they feel can get some developmental minutes and turn into something, let's see, you know, if Brad can get one of these right.
Don't they have a couple of guys like this, though, and Jordan Walsh and Shireman? Aren't those considered developmental wings in the system right now?
Definitely. And I think they're under the same microscope, you know, that Hugo would be. This is their opportunity to play. And you have to remember, Jordan Walsh only has a $200,000 guarantee for next season. So, you know, there's no guarantee he's here long term. So if you need to then replace him, here's another bigger defensive wing while Shireman is your in-theory Sam Hauser shooter. You know, this is what this season has to be for all these guys. It's why I want them to get off George Niang's money, because I don't need a 32-year-old taking up minutes in a developmental season. I'd rather lose and struggle with young development than lose and struggle with, like, George Niang playing 15 minutes, because I just think they're on different timelines.
Well, then how does someone like Anfernee Simons play into that, what you just described right there of a developmental season? Because I thought that was a dynamite trade by Brad Stevens to be able to get a talent like that in here for an aging player like Holiday. The Porzingis trade I didn't like quite so much for the reasons you just mentioned. But how does someone like Simons fit into what you're describing here?
So he's your ace up the sleeve, right? Because it's almost a no-risk situation, because you get to test him out in the first few months of the season. If it just seems like his defense is never going to improve or it's not the right fit, you can flip that $27 million expiring at the deadline. That's a valuable asset. If it turns out you hit on the player and he does fit your culture, and it's, you know, the reverse Derek White, where you can fix his defense the same way they fixed Derek's offense, now you have a chance to extend a player who's on your same age timeline as your core. If for whatever reason he walks for nothing, you still get the financial relief and you got the two picks in that trade. So there's really no downside to how it shakes out. You just hope that if he's here for the long term, he can show that he's able to defend at a passable level. He's not the worst guard defender in the league like he has been as a Blazer. And if not, hopefully Brad is able to use that salary vehicle to bring in better win-now pieces.
We're talking with Dan Greenberg, a.k.a. Stool Greeny from Barstool Sports, joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. Greeny, with all that sort of being said here, the dance that Brad Stevens is attempting to do is one that is not, you don't want to be considered someone who's blowing up the roster or trying to dump a ton of salary. You don't want to be making trades where they're very uneven, but you're doing them all for financial reasons. The Porzingis trade, it's hard to describe as anything other than that. How do you think Stevens is doing so far this offseason trying to negotiate those two things, and what other moves do you foresee him executing here either tonight or in the near future?
So you can only really evaluate the plan based off what we know, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It obviously will look different when the dust settles, but we knew heading into the summer that they had to get under the apron. And at the time, we all thought they were going to have to attach assets to offload this money. In reality, you gained two draft picks for offloading the money. So they didn't break up the core. You still have Jaylen Brown. You still have Derek White. Peyton Pritchard's still here. They were able to offload the money we all knew was going out the door, unfortunately, right? If Drew Holiday signed for a $20 million extension instead of 34, he doesn't get traded,
right?
But he did. That's what the money is for. So in that aspect, I think he comes out ahead. You know, it's a little surprising that Porzingis was just a straight salary dump, just because when he was healthy, he was serviceable, but you take the $22 million savings. Last night, okay, fine. You want to draft a project, great. But you need to address the center position, because the free agent market is gross. You don't know the futures of Al or Cornette. So that's the next part that we have to evaluate his summer. I do not think that they can go strictly into the free agent market and think they're going to find any sort of playable, passable center. I'd rather give those minutes to a developmental project center, you know, be the guy from Creighton, be the guy from Stanford. I don't care who it is, just take someone at the position of need.
Who are some of the free – I saw you tweeting about this. Who was on that? Who's on the free agent list for the bigs?
It's awful. I don't even want to say it online. Okay. You may get banned by radio. But honestly, just look up Mamu on the Spurs. He has my heart right now. Mamu, he's a lefty. He's like 6'10", 6'11". He shoots threes. He can put the ball on the floor. I tweeted out a video. I think he had 34 points and made 7 for 7 from 3 against the Knicks. He's incredible. He plays on the minimum, or at least he did this past year. He's, if you have to go the minimum market, give me a guy that I know can fit into Missoula Ball, and let's get crazy.
Okay, Mamu, I'm not familiar. Is that like a one-name guy? Like
Mamu,
Nene?
M-A-N-U. Yeah, kind of. Well, he's got a huge, it's like his last name is 35 letters, but everyone just calls him Mamu.
Just Mamu. Yeah. All right, that's probably better for all of us then. All right, before we let you go, last night Brad Stevens had an interesting answer about Joe Mazzulla and an extension for Joe Mazzulla, and he says, we've got Joe for multiple years, but I thought they only had Joe for one more year. B-Rob was writing that there was maybe an extension that happened that no one knows about. Do you know anything about that, or was that maybe a misstatement by Stevens last night?
I mean, I don't want to break news, but I'm pretty sure he signed a blood contract where it's just job for life, rightfully earned.
Okay. But I would, like in the mafia.
At least maybe that's just what I'm hoping for.
Right.
But I do think it was interesting when Brad said, you know, we try to keep those in-house. It wouldn't surprise me if they did give him an extension after the title and they just didn't tell anybody, because I'm trying to remember, when was the last time we ever heard of a coaching extension? I guess, granted, you know, Ime wasn't around long enough for it. I can't remember if they ever formally announced any with Brad, and he was here for 7-8 years. So the way that he phrased it and the fact that he began by saying we keep it in-house tells me it wouldn't surprise me if they did extend him and we just had no idea.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, because you think, like, after the championship, that would have been a very popular move. They would have wanted to let everybody know, yeah, the guy we just won the championship with, we've extended, and he's going to be here for however long. You think that would have been an easy one to want to go to press with?
Yeah, I mean, everyone, you and I got extensions from the Celtics, you know, coming out of that.
True,
they were
yeah.
throwing those things out left and right.
Right, it's everybody on the entire team, except for poor O'Shea Brissett. Everybody on that entire team got brought back. You're right.
Yeah, that's true. That's tough.
I thought that was an interesting little piece there. That's Dan Greenberg, Barstool Sports. Greeny, great stuff as always. Enjoy the second round, and enjoy your deep dive late into the evening of whoever it is they pick at 34. I'm sure you'll be up late again.
Oh, we're grinding center tape until the sun comes up, for sure.
Very good. All right, thanks, Greeny. That's Dan Greenberg again, Barstool Sports, joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick Red Sox and Celtics break because Robert Kraft spoke at the Fanatics party over the weekend, or during the week. When was this thing? It was during the week, maybe? The thing that Tom Brady won?
It sounded like a thing that started around like Saturday or Sunday and lasted until Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, the Fanatics Lollapalooza
thing
that's going on.
I think, who was it? Fitzy said it was basically Comic-Con for sports.
Okay. It honestly sounded kind of cool. Those games, the thing that Brady won, where it was like they were shooting pucks into the washer and dryer, like that looked. I feel like I could have done okay at that. I know.
You could beat a 9-year old in that.
I could beat a 9-year old in shooting the puck into the washer and dryer. I'm pretty sure I could. Actually, I'm positive I could. Although, I don't know, like a 9-year-old Canadian kid, just like any 9-year-old Canadian kid would probably give me like a pretty good pretty good test for my mettle. Because that's not about like strength, it's just all hand-eye stuff.
Canadian kids are born with a hockey stick in their hands.
They are. You know, they're born on skates, on a frozen surface, and their first words are,
sorry.
Or, sorry, over here. You know, pass to me. I'm open, whatever. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear from Robert Kraft.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Any Patriot fans that are out there, I can tell you I'm very excited about this upcoming season. The last 2 years were the worst years of my 31 years of ownership. We have to change that. We have a new coach in Mike Vrabel who is really connected with the players, who's doing great work. We have a young quarterback, a lot of great veterans, free agent veterans who came in, a great draft class. We're going to have fun this year, I promise.
It's Robert Kraft on the Adam Schefter podcast, which was recording last week. There was a bunch of Fanatics stuff in the background, so it was at that Fanatics thing. I guess that's where he was recording it.
It was like one of those live versions.
A live recording you could hear. I mean, yeah, you could hear the crowd in the background. And RKK, good friend of Adam Schefter. Schefter, I remember interviewing him on the afternoon show when Kraft got snubbed for the Hall of Fame, and Schefter was apoplectic. I mean, really, I've never heard him like that about anything before. It was the most fired up I've ever heard Adam Schefter talk about anything, including the time he broke a story after he finished making love to a young woman
in the streets,
which was an amazing. That happened. Andy and I got to ask him about that, which was wild, just wild that he. You know what? I felt a little hurt by that too, because he went on some other podcast and they asked him something, and he was like, "Yeah, here's some time when I was making love, and after it was over, I broke a story, but I still completed the tear." Whatever he said, it was very unlike him to say something like that. And I felt a little hurt. I was like, why couldn't you have given us that? Why couldn't you have given us this amazing window into both your reporter and sex life? You know, it's something I think we all...
You and Andy had to do was ask.
It's something my audience would have really liked. I wouldn't have ever thought to ask him that. And that wasn't even the question that the kid on the podcast asked him. He was like, what's the craziest thing you ever did? Or the craziest thing that ever happened when you were breaking a story? And he was like, well, let me tell you. I was having some sex. Like, okay, all right, Shefty. Anyway, Robert Kraft, was on Schefter's podcast and said that he's very excited about the upcoming season and that the last 2 years were the worst years of his 31 years of ownership. The worst. I mean, they should be. Those were two pretty embarrassing years. But when I hear stuff like that from Robert Kraft, when it's the last 2 years were the worst, I think, yeah, right, they were. I'm glad you can see that. But now everything's going to be different. Well, you know, we heard that last year. Last year we heard that the year prior was the worst year. Now it's the previous 2 years were the worst years of all time. And last year it was supposed to be the beginning of
something.
It's like
the reverse Tom Brady. When they ask him, like, what's your favorite ring? And he says the next one, Kraft. What's your worst ownership year? The next one.
The last one, yeah. The last one, and now the next one probably won't be so great either. You obviously can't say that. And I don't think he believes that. I think a lot of people, including myself, believe that the team will be better next year. Better than 4 wins. But the question, I think, is going to be how much better. Because if it's 4 wins to 6 wins, and they're still in fourth place in the AFC East, and I think you can, you know, if he's looking at this era, Robert's looking at this era as the bad era of his ownership tenure, which is what it's shaping up to look like here since Brady left, but even, you know, more recently since the Mac Jones thing crashed and burned, because there was that very brief window of time where Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and everybody looked like a genius. And it was when they drafted Mac Jones. He won 10 games. They went to the playoffs, and it looked like they were going to just maybe not win championships, but continue to rebuild on the fly and nurture this young quarterback who showed some promise, didn't have all the intangibles you need to be, you know, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes or something like that, but certainly the type of kid who, after a strong rookie showing, if you just surround him with the right players and the right coaches, boy, you really could have something there. And instead, they surrounded him. We know what they did. We don't need to go back over and drag Matt Patricia and Joe Judge's name through the mud, although I guess I just did. Like, there's no need in going back through all that. But that was, I think, for Robert Kraft anyway.
I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay?
I'm sorry, Matt. I apologize. I will sit up. I will not slouch. I will not have an unkempt beard. Definitely would never do that at a press conference. You know, I've never been to a press conference. The only press conferences I've even been close to, one of them was when Robert Williams got drafted. It was Jones and I had just started on the old show with Jones, the old show at the other station with Jones. And one of our first shows together was right around this time. It was right around when the Celtics drafted Robert Williams. And we were over there at the Auerbach Center. We were doing the show. And then either in the middle of it or right after it was over, Danny Ainge came out in that little area. There's a podium. And there was rows of seats. And Jones ran up into the seats. And he wanted to get in line to ask a question on the microphone. It's a true story. And the microphone finally got to him. And after they picked Robert Williams, we looked him up, you know, because we knew about him. We didn't know that much. And we looked up and we saw that he had been suspended either his sophomore or his freshman year at Texas. I forget which one, but he was suspended at Texas, and they didn't say why. So Jones wanted to find out why. So he gets in line to get the microphone, and they're passing it around, and, you know, Abby Chin asks a question, and Forsberg asks a question. Washburn was there. Everybody's asking questions. It finally gets to Jones, and he starts his question, and he goes, "Hi, Danny, Adam Jones." And he goes, "I'm just wondering, Robert Williams was suspended, but," and then is the middle of the question, the microphone shorts out. So Jones was like, "We saw that Robert Williams was suspended at Texas, and I just wondered, and is there any way, and how?"
Oh, that's some divine intervention right there.
I think someone released the EMP, maybe, or some kind of what do you call it, like a blocker, one of those things, a jammer. So that
that's the radio host.
The microphone wouldn't work. And yeah, and Jones's question got completely erased, which I thought was funny. But that was one, and I wasn't even part of it. And the other one, so this happened a long time ago when I worked in New Hampshire. It was me and Pete Shepard. We were doing a show called Arcan and Shepard, very creatively titled. And the two of us were doing a show over at the Loudoun Speedway, where the racetrack is. And we had a little room off of the media headquarters there in the middle of the, whatever you call the middle of the track. It's called something. I don't know what.
The infield?
Yeah, in the middle of the infield. And I didn't know this because we came in one door and there was another door to the right that they said led to where all the food was and everything else, but it also led right into the staging area for the press conferences. And so Pete and I finished our segment talking about whatever we were talking about. I was babbling about something and Pete was calling something a disgrace. That's what I remember most about working with Pete. When he didn't like something, he'd go, "That was a disgrace." He would say it so forcefully. I learned so much from Pete. I really did. You know, no matter what, if he didn't like it, you could tell he really didn't like something. He called it a disgrace. And he said it with such, you know, just such feeling in his voice. But yeah, we're going on and on talking what we're talking about. And I got up to go to the bathroom. And I open the door and I walk out. And I don't realize it, but I walked right into Joey Logano's press conference. Like right next to him, he's standing there right at the table, and I just opened the door and walked and didn't even realize all these people were in front of me. And I was like, "Ah!" And Logano looks at me, he's like, "Who are you?" And I was like, "And I just walked away. And I went back in the room. Pete's like, "What happened?" I was like, "There's a press conference happening on the other side of that door, literally right there. So if you're gonna go out there, just maybe wait or open the door slowly and don't." I like bursted into it like Kramer, like how Kramer enters Seinfeld's apartment. I was like, "Blah!" There I was, and here's Logano and all these NASCAR reporters looking at me. And I was like, and I just disappeared and went back in. It felt like a real D-bag. Anyways, what were we talking about? Press conferences? Oh, yeah. Matt Patricia. Man, I really got sidetracked there. Anyway.
Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft. Let's reset on Robert Kraft. And let's go to the phones, actually. Matt is in Rhode Island. He has a thought on the Patriots defense. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, guys? I think the Patriots defense is really shaping up. I think possibly a top 10 defense. And you got Davis on the other side of Gonzalez. Mm. You know, the defensive tackle from the Eagles with Barrymore. Ted Johnson, I called in the other day. He did an interview with Spillane. Spillane's a maniac, and he's actually further on in his career. He's almost 30, but in the last 2 years at Las Vegas, he's had almost 170 tackles. The guy's from sideline to sideline. But anyway, the offense is going to be what it is, but I think the defense could be one of Drake May's biggest components here.
Yeah, it could be, Matt. Thanks for the call. I will say this about the defense. They definitely spent more time on the defense in free agency. They made sure that the NFL-ready players that they were adding to the team were going to be largely defensive players, and that's what ended up happening. And that's why you have Davis and Spillane and Milton Williams and, you know, the rest of those guys that they picked up in free agency, guys that they made big swings on and ended up landing. On the offensive side of the ball, they did get Steph Diggs, which was a bit of a reach because of the injury. Morgan Moses, who was a right tackle, perfectly fine with that. Nothing to really say there, although he's got some injury stuff. And everybody else on offense they got in the draft. So when it comes to NFL-ready players, they're a lot more NFL-ready, I'd say, on the defensive side. But the only thing I would say, and, you know, Ted might disagree, but I've always sort of believed this watching it and seeing, you know, new teams kind of turn over and reset and how they all come together. I feel like on defense, you can bring in a bunch of new players on defense. But if they're not used to playing with each other and they're not used to playing in a certain system, then even if they were good in their last stop, like even if Davis was really good on another team, you don't know necessarily that he's going to be able to come in here and fit the system Vrabel wants, or Spillane, or even someone like Milton Williams, who did great when he had Jalen Carter and all these other great pass rushers around him in Philadelphia, which he's not going to have here in New England. Which isn't to say I don't think he's going to be good, but, you know, it's a different situation with different things he's going to be asked of him to do and different amounts of attention that's going to be given to him on that defensive line. So,
golly.
You know, that's I think, an important factor in all of this. Talent-wise, they're much better. As a unit, I don't know how much better they're going to be. I think they will be. I mean, I don't think you get, like, talented guys together and they can't do it. But it's more important for a defense to gel than an offense, if that makes sense, because an offense, you can have one guy be a big playmaker. And if you can just get everybody to get the ball to that guy, you know, like, it's nice to have a lot of different weapons and different options, but there's a lot of teams in the NFL, and that's just what they do. You know, they have their one guy, their main guy, and that's who scores most of the points, and that's who they feed the ball to. And the Patriots don't have that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we will be joined by Bridget Prue of the Skate Pod and also Sunday Skate here at WEEI and Odyssey. She's going to break down what's coming up tomorrow night for the Bruins in the first round of the NHL draft. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense Side-by-Side Fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.